You're listening to The Top Line, brought to you by Fierce Pharma and Fierce Biotech. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. The Fierce Pharma team publishes a special report every year that highlights the top 20 pharmas based on their revenue. The most recent edition, which was published just this month, ranks each pharma based on their total revenues for 2023. After a one-year break, Johnson made it back to the top of the list this year, and there have been some changes at the bottom of the annual ranking as well. In today's episode, Fierce Pharma's senior editor, Eric Saganowski, and senior writer, Kevin Dunleavy, discuss the numbers, key trends, and some of the biggest changes that have taken place year over year. Let's dive into the conversation now.
We've completed our annual report ranking companies by revenue for 2023. And really, it's looking a lot like some of our other reports, our quarterly reports and our drug sales reports, where everything points at Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. The sales of their GLP-1 drugs is pretty staggering. If you look at the companies in the top 20 by revenue, Novo and Lilly were the only ones with double-digit increases. And we're not just talking double digits here. Novo, 31% increase, and Lilly, 20%.
Yeah, these are really impressive numbers. And we're coming, you know, out of the pandemic when a few companies were able to post this type of growth. But this really isn't normal for companies to grow by 20 or 30%. So to see these companies do it is impressive. Like you said, Kevin, Novo Nordisk was a big climber. They jumped up five spots to number 12. In doing so, they passed Takeda, Gilead, Amgen, Bayer, and Boehringer Ingelheim. Part of the reason Novo jumped so much is because each of those companies, besides Amgen, posted revenue declines for the year. But going back to Novo Nordisk, they grew from $25 billion in global sales in 2022 to $34 billion. And that came on the back of Ozempic, mostly, which grew to $13.9 billion in sales. Just as a side note, we're producing a separate special report, the top drugs by worldwide sales, and I noticed Ozempic jumped into the top five on that ranking last year. Mm. The Ozempic sister medicine, Wegovy, pulled down $4.5 billion in just its first year. So these companies are really busy making the most of these molecules.
Yeah, Lilly even surprised itself in 2023. At the start of the year, they predicted mid-teens growth and got to 20. That was, of course, on top of Mounjaro. Its first full year on the market counted for $5.2 billion. And then Zepbound, their answer to Wegovy, which is prescribed for obesity, got off to a strong launch with $175 million in sales. Lilly's projected 20% revenue increase, and Novo is projecting a 17 to 25% increase this year. And really, there's hardly any competition that looks ready to enter the market. There's a lot of companies that are going after new ways to treat obesity, especially helping patients retain their muscle, but nothing really is close to being approved. So I think expect more of the same in 2024.
Yeah, besides the marketing and kind of social media frenzy behind these medicines, behind the scenes, the companies are really busy on the manufacturing side. They're spending billions to be able to support the demand. So this isn't like a flash in the pan situation. I think these companies are planning for long-term growth.
Yeah, and you look at their market cap as well. Lilly, $720 billion. They top the U.S. and Novo, $560 billion tops Europe. Lilly even cracked the top 10 last year. And that includes the top 10 across all industries, and Novo's at 13. So they're ahead of companies like Walmart, JP Morgan, Exxon, Tesla.
Yeah, these are like tech valuations for pharma companies. It's wild to see.
And how about the top 20 list overall, Eric? We had some changes at the top and the bottom. What was going on at the top?
Sure. Yeah, the first thing I noticed after you compiled this research was that Johnson & Johnson again took over the top spot. They had a brief hiatus from this spot when Pfizer earned about $100 billion in 2022, but we all know that Pfizer wasn't able to repeat that last year, so J&J was able to retake its old spot. J&J had a decade-long run of number one from 2012 to 2021, so I'm sure they're happy to be back at the top.
Pfizer took a huge and really unsurprising fall. their revenue declined by 41% as they dropped from number one to number four. They had $103 billion, setting an industry record in 2022 and fell to $58 billion. And that, of course, is due to the sharp decrease in the sales of their COVID products. It was a decrease, too, that the company really didn't anticipate, the drop being that dramatic. Their guidance was way off last year. Despite all this, it was a solid year for Pfizer, as revenue actually increased by 7% if you exclude sales of Comirnaty, their vaccine, and Paxlovid, their antiviral.
They've been busy on the deal-making front as well, striking up buying biotechs to try and set themselves up for growth down the line.
Yeah, definitely. We can also see the drop in demand for COVID products impacting the bottom of the list.
Exactly. BioNTech and Moderna were no longer on the list. Mm-hmm. Their sales fell to $4.1 billion and $6.8 billion respectively. Each of them delivered more than $18 billion in 2022. So again, it'll be interesting to see how they try and reach those heights again. I know they're both big in oncology focus right now. But replacing them on this report were Teva and Viatris. They generated over $15 billion each. And it's interesting because those companies share some strategic elements, but they seem to be at a different point in their own stories. So what's going on with those two?
Yeah, they seem to be, right now, they're going in opposite directions. Teva is at 6%. They had a 6% increase last year, and Viatris fell by 5%. Teva's increase comes after five straight years of declining revenue, and that decline was significant, from $22 billion in 2017 to $15 billion in 2022. The new CEO, Richard Francis, is using a more selective approach with generics and biosimilars, emphasizing new drugs as well. Viatris is back in the top 20 after falling out in 2022, and they're taking a similar approach. They're divesting and moving away from their dependence on generics.
Yeah, it's interesting with both of these companies following that approach, and at the same time hearing all these headlines about drug shortages. It doesn't seem like the top generics companies moving out of certain generics will help that trend.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else you noticed in the top 20 list, Eric?
So it was an unusual year because besides Pfizer, we saw seven other revenue declines. I don't remember seeing that in prior years working on this report. Roche, AbbVie, Viatris, Bayer, and Merck KGaA each posted a sales decline of 5% or more. And posting smaller declines were Bristol-Myers Squibb and Gilead at 2% and 0.2%. The flip side, we saw some growth as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. In addition to Novo and Lilly, we had Amgen at 9%. And a lot of that, of course, is with the increase there came from their acquisition of Horizon. I think about a billion of that came after the acquisition was complete in October. Other companies that had increases were Novartis at 8%, Boehringer Ingelheim, J&J, Teva, and Takeda at 6%. Interestingly, rivals AstraZeneca and GSK both at 3%, and Merck up 1%. Looking at next year, Eric, what do you see out there?
Just going to the top, I expect J&J to continue to lead the report. They have a comfortable lead, and unless a company strikes a major deal, it seems like Novo and Lilly will push into the top 10, just considering where they're at now and their projected growth rates. But besides the top of the list, I think it's always fun to watch the bottom of the list. The top companies are as dominant established players. The rankings may shift a little bit, but they don't really fall off or move up all that much. On the bottom, though, you see some real changes. So what might we see down there?
Viatris was number 20 last year at 15.4, and they could be challenged by a couple of companies. Plasma Specialist CSL, they were at 14.2, and they're growing while Viatris is declining, so they could catch them. And Regeneron has had huge increases over the last several years. They're at $13.1 billion. And then one more company not to forget is Vertex. They haven't cracked the $10 billion mark yet, but they are increasing their revenue every year with their cystic fibrosis treatments. And now with an approval, along with CRISPR, for its gene therapy in sickle cell, they could be in the top 20 list here within a couple of years.
Yeah, it's always fun to follow. So we'll keep an eye on it. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Eric.
That's it for The Top Line. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercepharma.com. Look for podcasts. And that's The Bottom Line from The Top Line.